pleasure. Always good to talk with our friends where it's a little chillier than where we are here in Tampa.
Yeah, it is a little bit colder than it is, I'm sure, in the area of Raymond James Stadium. But it's going to be hot up here on Monday as we watch what looks to be a great matchup, a U2 back in the title game. Eli, when did you have a sense that this year's Tide team was going to be another very special team?
Probably after the third game of the season. You had to wait because Alabama has a true freshman quarterback. And you just never know exactly how things are going to play out. But after the third game of the season, a game in which Alabama played on the road at Ole Miss, struggled and played poorly and was down by 21, and then came back to win it in the other guy's stadium, leaving there that day, I realized that this team had a chance to be very, very good. So to pinpoint a given weekend, it was probably week 3 of the season.
And that quarterback, Jalen Hurts, certainly has not played like a freshman, certainly late in the season. From your perspective, what's been the area where he has improved the most as the year has gone on?
Well, just his confidence, his knowledge of the playbook, his comfort with the offense. Of course, he has at times still done things that you'll say to yourself, well, remember, he's still a freshman. But overall, he's a wonderful talent. He can run the ball well. He is a true dual threat quarterback, which is something that Alabama hasn't had a ton of over the years. But again, he's a true freshman. So he's done well, but he is still learning. Last week against Washington, you know, wasn't his best passing game. So, he has his ups and downs, as most young players will.
Bo Scarborough certainly had a tremendous game last week. Did you see him building to that as the season went on?
Well, we had hoped that. But he has been bothered by a lot of injuries. He's been banged up. He's had a couple of knee injuries. He was slow in developing. But Nick Saban always said, just be patient. You're going to see a lot out of Bo Scarborough before it's all said and done. And again, like you say, 19 carries, 180 yards, a couple of touchdowns. That's what everybody knew he could do, but it had been slow in coming because of injury.
Well, Clemson certainly proved a worthy opponent last year. That championship game was one of the best college football games in recent memory. Deshaun Watson back with another year of experience under his belt. What will be the biggest challenge for Alabama Monday night?
Well, obviously slowing him down. You've got to. I remember preparing for last year's broadcast, and I noticed that some of the biggest plays that Deshaun Watson made, this is going into the championship game, some of the biggest plays he made were at the end of broken plays, whether there was a problem in a handoff, whether everybody was covered, whether he made a mistake, whatever it was, some of his biggest gains came at the end of broken plays. So you've always got to account for him. You have to keep an eye on him constantly. Obviously, he can hand off to Gallman. He's got some great runners, great wide receivers to throw to. Williams is back. He didn't play last year. There are so many. They're a very, very good ball club. They did not get to this game by accident. They earned their way. They have played well. And, heck, look what they did to Urban Meyer's bunch last week, you know, shutting them out 31-0. So this is going to be a tough game. They're multifaceted. Their defense is very good. It's going to be tough for the Tide, but it's not necessarily going to be easy, I don't think, for Clemson either.
We are talking with Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And, of course, the defense has made so many huge plays this year. It's as opportunistic a defense as I can recall seeing in college football. What's been the key for them in making those big plays and really becoming a scoring threat in many ways?
Oh, yeah, you're right. There have been six games this year in which the Alabama defense or special teams has outscored the other team's offense. It's been bizarre. Now, there have been, I've got to be honest, there have been a couple of times where there was just good luck. You know, there was a game at Arkansas where the ball was stripped out, and it literally just took a perfect bounce, which you don't often get with a funny-shaped ball. It took a perfect bounce right into Tim Williams' stomach, and he ran it in for an uncontested touchdown. But this is just a team that is very determined to play well, to do well, and to contribute on both sides of the line. So, you know, it just happens. You're right, 15, you know, touchdowns of that nature, it's almost, not almost bizarre, it is bizarre, really.
Eli, do you think the change in offensive coordinators at this juncture is maybe being overblown a little bit by the media? It seems to be a pretty well-oiled machine at Alabama, regardless of who's there.
Yeah, I think it's great for talk show hosts and columnists. They need something to fill up their time or their column inches with. I don't think it's going to be that huge of a factor. I really don't. Sarkisian, although he has not been the caller of the plays, he has not, you know, been the guy at the point. He's been around the program all year long. So I'm expecting it to be fairly seamless. I was on the practice field yesterday in Tuscaloosa before everybody headed to Florida. And, you know, everybody seemed to be doing great, no problems. I didn't spot any issues. So I'm not expecting it to be a major story. Nick Saban does not do stuff in a knee-jerk, reactive way. Everything he does is well-studied and well-thought-out. If he didn't think that this was the way to go, he wouldn't have gone this way.
I think that people have their opinions of Nick Saban, and much like we see here in New England with Bill Belichick, they're based on what we see in those public moments. So I'm sure you've seen sides of Nick Saban that the average fan would not have access to. What's a little something about him that fans might not expect?
Oh, he's a nice guy. He loves being a grandfather. He loves rock music. He loves the Eagles, knows almost every word to every song in the Eagles record library. He really is a nice guy, but he is ultra, ultra focused. I mean, he has one thing in mind, and that's winning ball games and winning championships. So, no, the 40-second sound bites that you guys might see up there in Bangor on the local news, that's the public side of Nick Saban, who is passing along messages from the pulpit, if you will, to those who will listen. But there is definitely a gentler, more family-oriented side. He is a nice guy, but, you know, he still is very, very oriented, very result-oriented.
Well, and for you, Eli, of course, it never gets old broadcasting a national championship game. The thrill is always there. How many will this be for you?
This will be my sixth national championship game. The first one was back in 1992, and I've been blessed to have always been on the winning side of all those games. So I hope that trend continues. And somebody asked me the other day if I had looked up if there was anybody else around who has broadcast that many national championship games. And I really couldn't come up with anybody necessarily. Of course, Bob Harris, the basketball voice of the Duke Blue Devils, you know, might have done that. I'm not sure, but I've been blessed. This will be my sixth one coming up on Monday.
Well, we wish you a great broadcast. We know it's going to be a terrific game, Alabama and Clemson for the national title on Monday night from Tampa. Eli Gold, as always, it's wonderful to talk with you. Thanks so much for visiting with us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure to be on with you guys. Take care and Happy New Year.